Welcome everybody to another episode of HomeKit Insider. You have me, Andrew O'Hara, here with my co-host and the internet's most infamous cake fartist, which is a artist who creates fake cakes. You know, oh, is it a shoe or is it a cake? That is Steven. Steven Robles. How you doing, man?
Doing well. Listen, some of those cakes are terrifying. I don't know if you've seen the ones that they make it like a dog or a cat, and then they have a literal dog or cat, and then they cut the cake, and the animal is just in total shock. It's terrifying. It's probably traumatizing these animals, but I don't like being surprised when something's a cake. I want to know, is it a shoe or is it a cake? I don't want to have to guess.
What a very... I specifically don't like being surprised when something's a cake.
I don't. But if someone actually made some HomeKit product cakes, I'd be down for that. I'd be curious. I'd like to see a Wemo Switch as a cake.
Yeah. Is this a Leviton Decora box or is this a cake? No one knows. Maybe you'll find out later in the episode.
Not until you cut through it. But anyway, let's jump in because we actually have news and reviews, some listener questions this week. And so first of all, Matter. Andrew, this was going to be the great hope of the smart home world. Matter, which was the connected alliance where Apple, Google, Amazon were all going to work together and create products that were compatible across all these different brands. They had originally said by the end of 2021, we'll see the first Matter devices launched. But now it has been delayed till 2022. And now it has entered just that little bit of doubt where, is this legit going to happen and be a thing? Or is this just going to be delayed and delayed? So I don't know. Andrew, what do you think about this delay happening?
I mean, it's not surprising, but at the same time, it's disappointing. The way that this read to me, it sounds like we're going to see our first one or two products drop by the end of 2022. That is how I read their public statement on the matter. Now that, dang it. Oh, now I made a pun.
Pun intended.
That's how I read their public statements, that we're not going to see much until like the end of next year.
Right.
Which is really disappointing. I mean, as we're moving to this, we want, you know, the more people involved, the better. And the fact that it is being pushed almost an entire year, it's just unfortunate.
Unfortunate.
Yeah, so we're kind of stuck where we are. But anyone who knows what's been in like the iOS stuff has basically been like a beta version anyway, not because we're in iOS 15 beta, but it didn't even look like it was going to fully launch in iOS until like next year anyway. So this didn't seem like a huge shock in terms of just where development was on the iOS side of things. Okay. So yeah, it's not like all that surprising, just disappointing at the same time.
Gotcha. Well, we'll keep you updated on what matters most.
Ah,
which
I won't do anymore.
Okay, that's enough of that. Other piece of news, Acara in mainland China have released new versions, E1 versions of their water leak sensor and contact sensor. And usually when they launch something over there, we will hopefully eventually see it here. Not really a big difference between their previous model contact sensor and water leak, but it does have Zigbee 3.0, which offers better connectivity. Their hub, the new Acara hub, the M2 hub, also has Zigbee 3.0. So just better wireless connectivity in some of these products that we'll probably see in the coming months, maybe early next year from Acara. So it's cool. Good to know they're still updating their stuff. All right. A couple projects now. I had a couple things going on. First of all, on the last show, I bought live on air the Onvis motion sensor. And so I set it up this past week in my house and I put it out on this little patio area. It's not like outside. It's kind of like a Florida room. And I have it automating a ceiling fan light with some Hue bulbs. I did the automation in the home app and I found that the Onvis motion sensor is pretty good. I think that would be my review. It's pretty consistent. It does offer a couple other sensors with it. I'm going to pull it up in my home app as I talk. But I did find that the reaction speed, like you have said previously, you know, I have a bunch of Hue motion sensors. And compared to the Hue motion, the Onvis is not as fast to respond. Like when someone walks in the room, the Hue motion still just has that speed of turning on the light, especially because it's controlling Hue lights if you have Hue lights like in the room. But it works. It turns it on, turns it off. I did one of the automations where it turns on when it detects motion and turns off after 5 minutes. And that seems to help keep the patio light off, which was the goal. You know, I didn't do the when no motion is detected just yet. So I do have a temperature and humidity sensor in that Onvis thing This is pretty bright, but you might see that it has humidity and temperature as well as motion. So like the Hue motion sensor, you do get a couple other pieces of information there. So that's useful. It's actually 83 degrees out on that patio. It's inside. It's just not an air-conditioned room. And it's pretty hot out there. That's the Omvis motion sensor. If you're looking for motion sensors, it's a pretty good option. I would probably still go with the Eve, but number one choice still is probably the Hue Motion for speed and accuracy and all that kind of stuff. So that's the Omvis motion sensor. So there you go.
Nice.
And I had one other little minor project that I thought HomeKit listeners, HomeKiteers would appreciate. And that is, I have a coffee grinder. We talk about coffee on the show because you drink coffee at home, HomeKit, it connects. And I have a, I think it's a Barata something coffee grinder. It's a nice coffee grinder, burr grinder, because I make the cold brew in the UK and all that. I use it pretty often, but the other day I was grinding beans and someone knocked on the door, came over, and I left it grinding. I walked away, had a conversation, and then a few moments later, had that horrible feeling knowing I left those beans grinding and it's probably overflowing in the grinder. And I said, oh no, this is terrible. And so I run back and sure enough, it has been grinding away like a good grinder and it didn't overflow like out of the machine. The issue with this kind of grinder is it will start backing up into the machine and then just stop grinding beans altogether. And that is what happened. And so I totally messed it up and it was clogged, beans just impacted all over the thing and it was bad. So I looked up YouTube videos, basically had to take the whole thing apart. You have to like scrape every bean, ground bean from the thing and the little chute where the ground beans come out of it's terrible. So I said, well, I never want this to happen ever again. I did get it working again. It works now. I unclogged it all or whatever and cleaned it out, but I don't want this to happen ever again. So I had the idea, can I make this a smart coffee bean grinder? It's pretty dumb. I mean, it just has an on-off switch. That's the only thing this grinder has. So I got one of my Wemo switches and I put the grinder in the Wemo switch in the wall, hooked it up, and I leave the grinder in the on switch position. And I did an automation where when an accessory is turned on, which if you start creating an automation, either in the Home app or the Shortcuts app, you can choose the when an accessory is controlled as a trigger for any automation. And so I said, when it turns on, when this Wemo plug accessory is turned on, start a 2-minute countdown. And as soon as that countdown ends, and that's a wait command if you're programming the automation. And then I said, after that 2 minutes, cut it off. And that little simple automation will save my bean grinder from ever messing up again. Just turn the bean grinder on with the phone or with Siri, and 2 minutes later, it'll cut it off, and I'd never have to worry about overflowing and clogging my bean grinder again. So very simple, but another good use for one of the most simple HomeKit products, the little smart plug switch. And yeah, I was proud of that and thinking about it. So there we go. Coffee bean grinder automation.
Nice. Well, there you go.
There you go. Okay, now you actually have a review of some stuff. Andrew, tell me, what you got?
Yeah, so we talked about this a little bit last week. I think it was last week or 2 weeks ago. But anyway, it was the new second generation line of the Leviton Decora switches. Mm-hmm. So these are their new Wi-Fi enabled switches. They work with Apple HomeKit as well as, you know, the other guys. You got Ift, you've got Googs up here, you got Amazon's Lady, Ift, all that stuff. But really what we're going to focus on is HomeKit. So I have three products that I've been testing out. There is the dimmer, so the Leviton Decora second generation Wi-Fi dimmer, smart dimmer.
Sure.
I don't know if it has a special name other than that. But yeah, so I put that in one room and it installs pretty easily, just like any other like in-wall switch that you can use. It connects to Wi-Fi, you can control through the Leviton app, through HomeKit, all those fun things. The switch is pretty cool in terms of its design because it is a dimmer switch. So it's like a paddle style switch with the top and the bottom buttons. And then on the side of it is like a secondary rocker that you can use to granularly change the brightness.
Nice.
So you want to dim it down or brighten it up. It works like that. On the left-hand side of the switch, there is a row of like 10 LEDs or something like that. And each of those is like intervals of brightness going up. And I kind of like this. Maybe some people wouldn't like this, but I kind of like it. When you turn them on and off, it's never like a sharp like on. off, on, off type situation, it's like a gradual, like it'll go boop, boop. Like if the sound didn't sell it in the video, it's like,
yeah.
Whoop, whoop. Like I'm doing.
Does it make those sound effects or no?
It does not though. No, it just makes a normal click. Just yeah. It's just a normal click. Which I really like. It's just kind of like a subtle nod. It feels like a polished thing. I don't know. I like it. That's all pretty standard, right? It's like solid, cool. Sure. When it's mounted to the wall, you have the, your standard like Decora wall plate, so you can put this guy on there and then snap on any Decora wall plate that you want. It comes with one in the box, but you can put any other style you want on there because they're standardized piece. So like the Wemo switch here. Yep. This guy works with any Decora wall plate, so I could swap these around. Jumbly bloop bloop. Okay. Anyway, going back, the coolest thing about this though is the companion switches. So they have what they call the Anywhere Companion Switch, or the Companion Dimmer, I guess, in this case. And it is a second switch that connects to the first one.
Mm-hmm.
This switch can connect to the switch, to the dimmer switch, or to something like the Decora Mini Plug. So this is actually a smart plug dimmer that works with HomeKit.
Ooh. We'll
come back to that. It'll connect to any of these devices, and then you can control it like a secondary button. Now, you could use a HomeKit button, but as we talked about before, they're not as reliable. You don't have the options to dim with a button. There are a lot of other things that go along with it, like having a button, and they're just not as reliable or smooth or responsive as this thing is. So I have my companion right here. For everyone who's watching on video can see this. So this is what the actual regular wall switch looks like as well. So you've got your paddle switch here, and you've got, I'm reversed, this guy here, a secondary rocker that's used to adjust the brightness of the room. So since this is the companion one, nice. It is battery powered. So if I just boop, you can pop open its face, just take its face off, and you can see the batteries on the inside. And this thing is super, super slim. So you could replace this in any other spot in your house. So if you've got another outlet that you have spare, you can go ahead and mount this in there. And again, put the cover on it, and then you can use any Decora faceplate to match it. Nice. But you could also really just put this anywhere. I mean, there's nothing that's like needing electricity from the wall. So this can go anywhere on any wall. Just screw it into place, whether or not you have a socket. And you've installed a wall switch. So if you have a long hallway, you know, you want two points of control.
Yeah,
you have a kitchen with multiple points of ingress, good to go. You have a large living room. Like in our case, we're going into the kitchen and we're going into the front door, into the living room. Why can't we have a wall switch in both locations? So that way when we come into the room, you hit it, the lights come on. You don't have to like walk around the hallway into the kitchen to turn on like the lights for the living room or something like that. You have so many options by just really, really easily adding a three-way switch to your room. I love that feature. I love that you can connect these together like that. I mean, that is the biggest reason that I would choose like these Leviton switches versus a different brand. As I mentioned, there's also the mini plug-in dimmer, which is super awesome because we don't see these. Like, when do you see these? But yeah, if you have a lamp that supports dimming, you're able to connect it to this and control the dimming output of those lights.
It's cool.
And yeah, the dimmer switch can connect to these too. So you could put these on the wall, connect this to the light itself, and then control the dimmer, your lamp, from this wall switch. So if you have a lamp, in a room and you don't have a way to control it with the wall switch, you can do it. And I just love that it makes things look and feel like a normal switch. It doesn't look like a smart home device. It doesn't, do anything wonky. Everyone else can use it as normal, but you're adding this additional functionality that you just otherwise would not be able to have. And you get all this smart home kit functionality as well with all the automations and everything like that.
That's
it
cool.
Shows in the home app. You can dim it in the home app. All of that works great. Control through Siri. These have been solid devices.
That's awesome. Yeah, so that's very cool. The other plug-in dimmer I think of is Lutron, which they have it, but Lutron requires a hub for all of their devices. And to be clear, Leviton stuff does not require a hub. Is that right?
Wi-Fi.
That's it. Wow, that's awesome.
No hub required. They put it right on the box. Right on the box, Steven. No hub required. Wi-Fi certified.
That's amazing. Now, the switch. So you have the switch, like the actual switch installed somewhere right now, right?
Yeah.
So my question is, I lived with Lutron for a long time, and the reliability was so solid that, you know, I wonder in my new house, what should I go with? You know, you got the Wemo switches, you got Eve switches, you have the Lutron. How has the reliability been with this Leviton?
Well, I will say that I put it into a smaller room, one that I don't use super frequently.
Sure, sure.
So that being said, I'm not testing it, like battering it like I would with like a living room one or something like that gets just a little more, you know, used to it. So
yeah.
I can say that I've never had it go offline or anything like that.
Okay.
I have not had any issues. So far, it has been responsive whenever I ask, you know, Siri to control it.
Setting it up, there was no, like, I'm going to talk about some setup issues with Maris in a second. Like, no issues setting it up or anything like that?
No, I didn't have any issues. It was really straightforward, really easy, okay. Really easy to install. Yeah. Okay. I don't know how I would choose, honestly, between, like, the Leviton stuff and the Lutron stuff. Yeah, I don't know if it would come down to maybe price for me, but... I will say that I like this style better than the Lutron, the way that they've done their four buttons up, which isn't bad, but we've complained before, I've complained before, when it comes to, like, their remotes, like, they use, like, the same pattern, and it gets kind of confusing, and they all look the same, and if I'm controlling my shades versus my lights versus whatever, it's, like, the same one. Sometimes the middle, the fan controller is still the same, sometimes the middle buttons, you know, do things, and sometimes they do things, but you don't need them to do anything.
Yeah.
Weird little, you know, things like that. So I like that this is a more traditional kind of paddle switch design. It feels a little bit more like natural in your home, but I don't think I'd have a problem with equipping my house with either of them.
Okay, cool. So I'm going to put the link, obviously, to Amazon. It's the Decora second gen.
Yeah.
And it is $47, which is actually a little cheaper than the Lutron one, so you would save a little money. Plus, you don't need a hub, so if you just want to get a light switch and try it out, no hub required, this might be the way to go. They do look very nondescript. I do like that someone just glancing at it would not know, you know, that it's a smart switch or anything like that. So yeah, this looks really cool. It does require a neutral wire, which was, that was one of the issues with my old house, was there were no neutral wires anywhere, and your choices for light switches really narrows down if you don't have a neutral wire. So you do need a neutral wire on this, but in my new house, that won't be an issue. And yeah, I'm excited. I think these might be the ones. I might be going with these.
Well, there is a full review up. It will run by the time that this episode airs.
Sweet.
So if you guys want to learn more, I'm sure Steven will do his due diligence and link that review in the text as well for this guy. But
awesome. That's fun. All right. So the Leviton review, look for the links in the show notes. And speaking of Leviton, it's a great transition to some of our listener questions. Derek Means on Twitter was actually asking about a USB outlet. He was wondering if we had heard of the Utilitech USB outlets. This is something where you have like two plugs, like a normal outlet, and then USB ports that are right in the wall. You know, so if you just want to plug in a wall, they are USB-A, which I'm like...
Well, is that one USB-C on there, Steven? I can't quite tell in that pic. It looks like two USB-A, one Type-C.
I mean, it looks like four different faces staring at me. So yeah, maybe that is USB-C with this thing. So yeah, it might be one USB-C, two USB-A. So good call. Oh yeah, and it even has that in the bullet point.
Three USB ports, reversible Type-C.
All right, got it. And so Derek Means was wondering if we'd heard of these, and what about the Utilitech versus... I guess Leviton also has one like this. And of course, Leviton even replied on Twitter. They voted for the Leviton ones, obviously. Yeah. But, you know. Now, I'm a little weird about having USB plugs in the wall. So I feel like I want some kind of transformer between the wall and my device where the little brick is like relegating the power that's going to my device. I feel like if there's a USB plug, just straight electricity, that, I don't know, one of my device might blow up. That's an unfounded fear. I've never heard of that. That's just how I feel. So, I don't know. Do you have anything like this or have any experience with these kinds of USB outlets?
I'm just trying to get over your fear of that.
I don't know why. I just always feel like if I plug a USB cord...
You realize that there is a transformer in the wall. It's not just like feeding like raw power to your devices at like full speed.
I know.
And those aren't protecting you from surges, anything like that.
I feel like it's plugging it directly into a lightning bolt. Like, I feel like it's my device is just going to explode. I don't know. Like a Samsung Note 7.
Oh, God. This is why no one should listen to you for electric advice.
No, definitely not. No. Electricity, not an electrician. No. But Andrew, do you have any experience with these? Do you know what these are?
Yes, I've got some of the... I actually have some of the Leviton ones we put them into my parents' house. We redid one of the bathrooms there, and we put these into the bathroom, and it was nice because when you were like brushing your teeth or something, you could plug in your phone and charge up in there. And especially in some places that's small where you may not have spot for like sticking in like a bulky, you know, USB connector, they're really handy. And those only, I think, had one or two. These have more. And when we did that, that was like my college years. And I'm like, I would come up here for like a weekend or something, you know, needed that at their house. But something like this, like with actual type C, would be even better because then they didn't have type C. And that was my main concern, is as our power needs are changing, how long is this outlet going to work? So like I'm looking at a screenshot here. I don't know what like the output is on the type C port. I mean, are we looking at 12 watts, 15, 18, 30, like something like that. And I think that is important. And it depends on what you're going to charge. As long as you're taking that into consideration, as long as they have ample output of these guys, I mean, it's never a problem with like, can it do it? Because it's obviously got enough power coming in from the wall. But unlike Steven's fears, they do have to have the proper circuitry and transformers necessary to power it. So, like, you can't fit, like, you know, a 60-watt or a 100-watt, even GAN. Even, like, a 100-watt GAN charger, you're not going to be able to fit in between two, you know, AC outlets in your wall. Right. So I don't know what the power is here. I would look at that first between the Utilitech and the Leviton and whichever one's offering more power, I would lean towards, and making sure I had as many USB-C as possible. Honestly, I hate USB-A. I don't want any of it in my house. Get out of there.
Absolutely. Agreed.
But
now I'm looking right now on Amazon. Leviton actually has quite a variety.
They have a ton.
You can get one USB-A, USB-C. This one, I'll put in the show notes, $40. It's two USB-C ports on the outlet, which is pretty sweet, and it's 30-watt charge from that USB-C port. They say you can get two times the charging power with power delivery-enabled devices. So this one is a great, at least for the current situation. I mean, if you had a USB-C to lightning cable in there, fast charge your phone or even an iPad with USB-C, so that is pretty sweet. I cannot find, the Utilitech seems to be something that's like at Lowe's, or something.
Oh, I wonder if it's like one of the store brands or something.
It might be. It's not on Amazon. I found it here on Lowe's. It says type A, type C. It does say 30 watt max. So maybe that USB-C on the Utilitech is also 30 watts. But if you're an electrician, I guess you could, there's a bunch of stuff here. But anyway.
It always worries me that it's going to be like, oh, max 30 watts. And it's like actually like 18 and 12.
Like, right, like it's not clear. Leviton is clear that it, you can get 30 watts power delivery. These Utilitech ones don't say anything. This is a six-pack of Utilitech for $100. So you can get a bunch of them from Utilitech. I found the exact one that Derek was talking about. I'll put the link in show notes. But again, like Andrew said, USB.
I'm leaning towards Leviton at this point, not just because I just reviewed them, but yeah. The fact that it actually says USB-C PD.
That's right.
And I'm getting guaranteed 30 watts from a single USB-C port. That would be, that would probably be what would sell me. And it's also a pretty big price discrepancy.
Yes.
I would start to get.
Yeah. Oh, because the Utilitech ones are actually more inexpensive.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Like, that's a big price difference. I'm like, oh, this is supposed to be protecting my stuff a little bit. Like, what's the difference?
Device might
blow up? Of power? Yep, exactly. It's like plugging your stuff into a lightning bolt if you use those ones.
Never know.
Like,
thank you very much.
No,
I appreciate
it. I'm sorry. I shouldn't egg you on.
Well, I think Leviton is what I would go with too. Might look at those for the new house. I'll put a link to the Leviton ones in the show notes and the Utilitech. If you'd like to check those out, those are at Lowe's. Now, Angel Vargas, he tweeted at Andrew and myself. This is actually a MagSafe question. We've been talking about MagSafe the last few weeks. He was asking, what do we think about the Belkin 3-in-1 MagSafe charger versus the new Mophi MagSafe 3-in-1 charger? And we inserted it on Twitter, but I thought it would be good for our listeners to hear as well. I have the Belkin 3-in-1. I don't have the Mophi, but upon looking at those two devices, the Mophi 3-in-1 MagSafe charger, number one, requires you use your own MagSafe puck, and you have to thread that through the Mophi charging base. So you have to have your own puck. It's an additional $30. And it's wide. Like, it's all three devices in a row. So the Mophi one is pretty wide by itself. For those reasons, I still think the Belkin 3-in-1 is a better choice. That's what I use on my nightstand. It's kind of like a tree, so it has a smaller footprint. All you have is the little base on the bottom. You don't need to provide your own MagSafe puck. The Belkin has like the little pad right there built in. No other cable, no fishing your own MagSafe puck through it. And it still charges three devices. You can put the AirPods on the bottom base, and then the phone kind of hangs and your Apple Watch kind of hangs. And I kind of like that look anyway with the Belkin 3-in-1. So I would still say the Belkin 3-in-1, probably one of the best multi-device MagSafe chargers. And Andrew, I think you agreed on Twitter too, but what do you think?
Yeah, absolutely. I like Mobi's gear a lot. Some of their like fabric for batteries are really cool. But in this case, I don't like having to provide my own MagSafe puck. It's similar to like Apple Watch chargers. I wish they were integrated.
Yeah.
And what you have here is when you connect that, you know, puck, you now have two things that you need to plug in. You have your actual like charging stand that wirelessly charges your AirPods and your Apple Watch, but then you also have to plug in your MagSafe one, which is going to require as a 20 watt or higher 20 watt wall charger to go with. So that's an extra purchase.
Right.
The benefit of having one that is removable is that you do have a higher sunk cost, but you have the option to remove it when you travel. So the Belkin one, that's never leaving your desk. It's fairly awkward in size. It's not going to come with you. If you wanted to go with you and take your MagSafe puck with you, you don't have to buy a second one because you can just pop it out, the Mobi one, and just take the MagSafe part with you.
Right.
So that's the benefit of having a removable puck. But personally, I've picked up a few MagSafe pucks when they've gone on sale. I've got like some open box ones for like as low as like $20. And so I've got a few MagSafe pucks around. So that wasn't a huge thing. I just would prefer to have it all integrated into one power cord that I need to plug in a more compact design.
Exactly. All right. Rod Santiano tweeted at us. He's asking if we've had any complaints or issues with Maris products losing connection to the home app or otherwise. Like, he still sees his Maris switches in the Maris app, but not the home app. And Andrew, I gotta be honest, I'm kind of done with Maris because I've actually, in the last few days, experienced the opposite problem, where I have a Maris garage door opener and it still appears in the home app, but not the Maris app. It's the weirdest thing. I can still open the garage door with Siri. I can still control it from my phone. It gives me the status, but there was a firmware update that I saw pop up in the Maris app and I wanted to update because one of the fixes on the Maris garage door opener was better wireless connectivity. And I was like, okay, well, this is good. That's one of the many updates or one of the main ones that I would want my devices to have is better wireless connectivity. And I cannot update the firmware on this device through the Maris app for anything. It will not connect to the Maris app. And it's so weird because the home app actually sees it, but the Maris app does not. I power cycled the Maris device and that didn't work. I tried to go like far away from any Wi-Fi router. So I was on the 2.4 gigahertz of wireless band. Sometimes that's an issue with connectivity. That didn't work. Still couldn't connect. The app still didn't see it. Couldn't update the firmware. I've tried unplugging one of my mesh routers. So the device itself is like far away. Like, I tried a bunch of stuff and I really don't want to factory reset it because it's up high on the garage, you know, motor thing. So I'm just kind of done. Like, it still works with the home app, but I can't update the firmware. The Maris app refused to see it. I don't want to remove it from the Maris app and re-add it because I fear to lose the home app connection. So I'm like, I'm just not going to touch it. I'm not going to try and update the firmware again. If it stops working again, because it did stop working for a day or two. Like, I couldn't control it with Siri or the home app. When I power cycled it, it fixed that part, but didn't fix the Maris app connection. So, Rod, I don't know, man. I've been having similar issues and I'm not sure. You could try to, you know, go far away from your Wi-Fi router, see if, you know, going on the 2.4 gigahertz spectrum works. But I don't know, just having lots of issues with this Maris thing. And it's only one Maris device. Like, it's not like there's a bunch of Maris devices and one or two of them are malfunctioning. So I don't know, Andrew. I'm not feeling it from Maris.
That's the Rod situation is really weird that just randomly 13 switches and plugs stopped simultaneously. Like,
yeah.
The same brand stopped. Like, the rest of his home, I assume, is responsive and showing up because technically, as far as I can remember, like, they're not like talking to one another. It's not like, you know, this companion switch or something that's like talking to those guys. It's like straight up like on its own. So each one is like set up in direct connection to Wi-Fi. So there wouldn't be anything that I can think of that would cause all of those brands specifically to fall off the network. That's just weird. I don't like it.
Yeah. So anyway, yeah, I don't know, Rod. I'm sorry. That's a lot of switches. So I would war tweet them. Maybe just tweet storm them. See if they have some kind of fix coming. See if there's a firmware update in the app. Because apparently, they're still connected in your app. So maybe see about a firmware update. But Maris, reach out. Talk to us. What's going on with your stuff? All right. And our final question, this is from Casper in an email. He has the Logitech Circle View camera. He has it outside. He wanted it as an exterior camera, but it is dropping connection. He contacted Logitech. They said it was probably the 5 gigahertz Spectrum Wi-Fi network. And he says if he disables the 5 gigahertz Spectrum on his Wi-Fi network, the camera will work more consistently. But as you know, if you don't know, listeners, the 5 gigahertz bands is what you get faster Wi-Fi speeds on. If you're connected to that 5 gigahertz, you'll usually get much faster bandwidth on your mobile devices like your phone or your iPad. Just having the 2.4, you're not going to get anywhere near the speeds that your Wi-Fi router can put out. So I totally get Casper's conundrum here. You don't want to disable 5 gigahertz for one camera and sacrifice bandwidth on all your other devices, but he's having connectivity issues. I will say I had 2 Logitech Circle Views in my last house. One did give me issues like this. One of them was solid, but another one was not. It would have intermittent connection every once in a while. So you could, if you're still in that 30-day return policy, you could just try and get another one of the same camera and see if that would help, maybe. But if in your situation that, you know, the distance with the Wi-Fi router or whatever and the 2.4 gigahertz is causing an issue, you might want to try a different camera. You know, you might want to try something like the Arlo. You don't get HomeKit Secure Video, but you do get HomeKit Video Support. And I don't know if there's another exterior HomeKit Secure Video camera that he might be able to try, Andrew, but I don't know. Do you have any thoughts for him?
The other outdoor HomeKit Secure Video camera doesn't even really count anymore, but the Logitech Circle 2 is actually an indoor-outdoor camera, but they discontinued it, I believe, when they switched to the View, but that launched with HomeKit Secure Video in beta. So I did have a couple of those running with HomeKit Secure Video. I still have one of those running with HSV. So that would be an option if you could find one of those at all. But yeah, turning off the 5 gigahertz band worked. So that does sound like it is a 2.4 versus 5 gigahertz issue. He says he tried making the names equal or different, no help. What I would say is make sure when you do this, keep the 2.4 gigahertz channel the same name it has now. The same one that like your stuff is actively connecting to.
Right.
Then only change the 5 gigahertz channel to something else. You know, maybe it's Casper Wi-Fi and then just tack 5G at the end.
GZ.
Yeah. And yeah, boom, you got that. But whatever you want to do to like separate that out, so keep the 2.4 the same and only change the 5 and see if that helps. Mm. It would be really weird if it only worked when it was disabled. If that's the case, it sounds like your router is screwy because something doesn't add up there and how that's working. So I would say try that and see if that works. That's the biggest thing. I did have another question come in that I don't know where it came because I probably read it at like 1 a.m. and then didn't add it to our notes, Stephen, but it was around Logitech, the Circle View doorbell cam. And someone was asking how I managed to set up like multiple doorbells at our house.
Right.
And they were talking mainly about how they were all able to chime our doorbell. And
right.
I don't use the chime. I didn't connect the chime. So I'm not using, I don't even know if our house has a chime, to be honest. It probably doesn't. So I just have ours wired to power and I don't have the chime running through. Mm. So I rely on the HomePods and the Apple TVs to do our chiming, or my watch and my phone. I've got enough chimes going on. I don't need another just one in the house riling the dogs up. So we're not doing that. So that's how I'm able to have multiple connectors, because I can just connect them to power and then mount them wherever I need them to, and I don't have to worry about the doorbell chime at all. So that'll allow you to do as many doorbell cams as you want.
Okay. Well, hopefully that'll help, Casper. I know it can be frustrating with those cameras, but listeners, continue to keep the questions, what you got going on with your projects coming. You can tweet at Andrew and myself. Our Twitter handle's in the show notes. Don't forget to subscribe to the HomeKit Insider YouTube channel. You can watch these episodes in video, in the flesh. And so we'd love to see you over there on the YouTube channel. And also, we'd appreciate a 5-star rating and review in Apple Podcasts. HomeKit Insider has actually been climbing the ranks in the technology charts in Apple Podcasts. We're in the top 100 now. So thank you for all of you who've left reviews and star ratings and all that good stuff. And Andrew, is there anything else?
No, I don't think so. I think we need to have a whole section dedicated to Hue really fast, though, Stephen, because apparently that's what drew everyone into the channel, because we had like one video that did super well. And it was because it was the one about the Hue content. So apparently we just need to dedicate like a good section. So I think it was the IKEA picture frame one.
Huh.
That was the episode, you know. We got like 700 some views on there, so everyone was real excited about that. Or faucets. We need to talk about smart faucets again.
Listen, and get those. I'm excited. Yes. Those are pretty cool. Which, smart faucets. But
we'll talk about it again next week. But yeah, I've been doing a lot of research into like the smart shower stuff. So we're getting thinking about it. We'll save it for another episode. But yeah, if you guys haven't already, please go subscribe to our YouTube channel. They won't let me change the name of it, guys. They won't let me change the name because there's not enough of you subscribing. Yeah, come on.
We need the HomeKiteers. I'm telling you, we would have, again, a lot of people listen to this show. Not giving anything away. But if you all subscribe to the YouTube channel, we would have plenty of subscribers to change that name. I'm just saying.
I know. And if there's any fans of HomeKit that like tea, those could be the HomeKit tea fans. So all of you out there can just go ahead and subscribe to the channel.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Get our count up. It'll be great.
Good talking to you. We'll see you guys next time.